Hey everyone, it's Angela Stevens with the podcast Refocus with Angela. I am just so excited to introduce you to our guest today. I know you're going to be inspired. I know you may have even heard of her before, but her name is Deanna Nunes. She is a keynote speaker and a trainer, but she's also a board certified hypnotist. And we're going to learn all about that. So first of all, Deanna, thank you so much for taking your time to do this today.
I'm so excited to be here. Thank you for having me.
You're so welcome.
I love what this topic and I love helping people. So let's do it.
All right. We're like twins. I love that. So tell us, because I know people are going to go, a hypnotist. That sounds like so scary, clinical, you know, that kind of thing.
Does it?
It kind of did. Well, I think people are afraid of maybe what might happen to them.
I agree. Yeah. People do think that.
So talk to us a little bit about hypnotism first, what it is, what it means by being a board certified hypnotist. Talk to us a little bit about that.
So I love that you kind of put all of the different reactions that people have when they hear hypnosis. And I've been hearing it for years. I became a board certified hypnotist in 1998. So I've been doing this a lot of years. And I think hypnosis is really starting to change. It's how people think of it. It's now being offered as a alternative method at Mayo Clinic, at the Hoag Hospital in Newport Beach. It's been studied at Harvard, at Stanford. There's just so many different ways that it's now being utilized in a very clinical sense. So pain control, PTSD, anxiety relief. We always know about the smoking cessation, quitting smoking, weight loss has been touted for a long time, but it's now really, it's a universal tool to be able to use the brain waves that you have in your mind to be able to turn off certain parts of your brain and turn on others. So when in a recent study, they put people in MRI machines and really did amazing imaging of a brain under hypnosis, or I should say in hypnosis. I like the word in versus under because you never are under anyone's control, even though that is kind of what people tend to start to think. And it's really not about that at all. It's about tapping into your own brainwaves. So as soon as right now we're in a beta state where we're talking to each other and we're focusing outward, as soon as you start to focus inward or your mind starts to drift away from your analytical thoughts, you're in an alpha theta state. And so in those brain waves, it's been scientifically proven that your brain is very open to suggestion. It's very resourceful. It's very receptive. So you are then in much more of a creative state. And in that creative state, you are able to receive thoughts and ideas and concepts that your subconscious has been storing and be able to use them to your advantage. And so it's a highly resourceful state. When you're in your analytical mind, you tend to get kind of stuck in loop thoughts where you're like, I'm trying to figure that out. I'm trying to figure that out. And you can't get the answer. When you're in an alpha state, the answers just come. And so I like to think of it and share it as a 100% self-belief state where you're really just connected to your internal abilities and skill sets, like things that you know how to do that you really forgot that you know how to do are there for you all the time.
Right.
Everything that you want to tap into where you can escape from that overthinking, overlooping mind is already there. And so this hypnotic state allows you to be able to, so clinically, let me just really explain this. You're literally, when you're in hypnosis, you're literally turning off one part of your brain and turning on another. And so I want to make sure that I can even pronounce this right. It's called the dorsal anterior cingulate, just to give people like actual neuroscience of what's happening. You're turning off your dorsal anterior cingulate and you're turning on the other part of your mind that comes from your cortex and your insula. So I know that sounds very technical, but I want people to know that there is actual science to this.
Most definitely. The brain is powerful, isn't it?
It is so powerful. So when you basically what you're doing is you're turning off the part of your brain that's your analytical sense, and you're turning on the mind-body communication. So when you're turned on with your mind-body connection, you're very tuned in and focused. And so when we talk about, I mean, here we are in a podcast all about focusing. There is nothing more powerful than the state of hypnosis to help you to focus. Now, I have tested this in every possible manner. I have done thousands and thousands of stage hypnosis shows across the world where I take people out of the audience. And when I say take, they are volunteering. It's not like I grab them and bring them up, but literally every single show or edutainment experience, because I do this in corporate settings. I do this in college settings. I do this in public event settings. And so I have different techniques that I take people to that kind of helps people to get in touch with their creative sensibilities. And I can then tell who's going to be really great on stage to demonstrate the power of hypnosis. Now, I say that on stage is different than clinical in my office because you have other elements where somebody has to be really focused in on what I'm asking them to do to be able to let go of the audience, let go of the elements, the sounds in the room. And it's incredible what people can do with this state of focus. And so when they are turning off their analytical mind, they may be turning off the audience looking at them. They might be turning off what the person next to them is doing. Or maybe if the person next to them is moving, they're focusing to be able to get to that state. And I'm giving them suggestions, hypnotic suggestions, to be able to go inward and to focus on particular things. So for instance, one of the things that I love to do is I have them turn on what is the color of ease inside their mind and body. Now, remember, the brain, when it's going into hypnosis, is very focused on its mind-body communication.
Right.
So I ask them when they're breathing and closing their eyes, I say, now, if there was a color of ease and calm, what would that color be? And every single person, let's say I have 25 people up there, every single person is going to come up with their own color. And they're not going to tell me, they're just going to know inside their own mind. And I had a woman just yesterday that I ran into that was in a show just last week. And she goes, you know, she goes, that color, she goes, it was so vivid. It was emerald green and it was like flowing through my body. And I was just kind of laughing, listening to her because it's so true. As soon as they get connected to that, all she was focused on was this color of ease and calm. And so because she was able to focus on that color, she's not even thinking about the audience. She's not even thinking about the people sitting next to her. She's just 100% self-belief focused on that emerald green. That was the color for her. And somebody else might have gold. Another person might have blue, turquoise, you know, whatever it is.
So interesting, really, about we're all so different, right? I mean, we all have that answer that's different.
When I was a rookie hypnotist, I would tell people what color to focus on. Now imagine the color blue and imagine it's like waves and it's flowing over your body. Well, I was leaving a lot of people out by doing it that way, because maybe their color isn't blue, you know, and I never realized that that was a thing. And so by doing hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of private sessions with people, that's when I learned, because I clue into my clients. I listen to them intently. I take tons of notes. And so I would ask them, like, what was happening for you? You know, and it was through their feedback that I learned what to do that would be more effective. And so everybody has a color. And, you know, it's really funny is sometimes people will start to argue with their mind. And the argument only happens in the beginning when their analytical mind is still kind of there participating. But the deeper they go, the less their analytical mind participates. And it just becomes very accepting. So I say that in the sense that sometimes people will go, you know, I've had gentlemen that they have hot pink that comes to their mind. And they're like, why is it hot pink? Ease and calm. Why is ease and calm hot pink? You know, and then that's their analytical mind saying, like, no, it's not. It should be blue or whatever color. And then I always tell them as they're going into hypnosis with hypnotic suggestions, I'm like, don't argue with your brain. Just go with what's coming up for you. Your own mind-body communication is telling you. And so then they'll just go like let off and they'll go even deeper from that state because they're not arguing with their mind anymore. So hypnosis is this super resourceful state that you can tap into at any time. And everybody has already tapped into it. You tap into it at least two to three times a day, every day, naturally, without even realizing that that's what you're doing. So I'll give you an example, and everybody in the audience listening can definitely relate to this. So let's say that you're driving across town, and maybe it's 20 minutes to get there, and you arrive at your destination, and all of a sudden you might be aware that you don't even remember the last 20 minutes. Yet you literally got in a car, drove 70 miles an hour down a freeway, stopped at the light when you get off the exit. Like everything happens naturally and you got there safely, but you really don't remember driving there. You were in what we would call a trance state. Your subconscious mind took over and it did what it's patterned to do. When you first started driving, you didn't know what you were doing. It had to really be cognitive, right? You had to really be analytical and think about even where your feet were and, you know, putting just your right foot on the pedal and thinking about like, okay, what are the rules of the road again? What am I supposed to do? But once you've done that over and over and you've had that repetition, you don't have to think about it. You just get in. Now, we probably should be thinking about our driving a little bit more. You experience that trance state all the time. And so we have all gone into those alpha theta states over and over again. But what we're not doing is taking advantage of those alpha states. So our brain has this incredible superpower to take advantage of that resource state. So by proven science that your alpha theta brain is resourceful means that you can seed. So think about that word, everybody, S-E-E-D. You can seed your mind when you're in those resourceful states. And so that's what hypnosis is. Hypnosis is being able to take advantage of this resourceful state. And then we seed thoughts, concepts, and ideas into your brain while you're in that state of mind, and they become part of your subconscious. So I can tell you that 100%, I don't even think I would be sitting here having this conversation with you if I didn't personally find hypnosis over 20 years ago. I used to be very messed up. I was just very lost. I had little confidence. I didn't know where I was headed in life, and I had a lot of problems. And so I grew up in a family with a lot of issues. We were a normal family, middle of the road, you know, income family, Christian family. My brother died of drug abuse. My mom died of what I would consider an early death at 78. She died of complications of obesity and what the doctor said was poor self-care. There was a lot of emotional issues in our family. My parents got divorced and my mom was just always like very resentful. And so I was raised by kind of in that culture of anger and resentment. And so all of us, I'm one of four, we've all had our issues. And for me, I knew that I was not liking what my own brain was telling me.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of the time I just felt so insecure and so lost and so unregulated, dysregulated. I felt like I just couldn't get my shit together. Am I allowed to say that?
Yeah, no, of course.
And so I didn't go to college. I was a kind of a late developer, I would say. I didn't even, when I was in high school, I was all over the place. And so I left high school at 17 years old and went to cosmetology school because that seemed like something I was just
naturally. I knew there was something about that. My mother was a hairstylist, and I got to tell you, they are counselors. They are awesome people in the world. So you hit on something I do want to ask you. So one of the questions that I ask people is, and you've already hit on it, but I want to hit on it a little further, is I always say, have you experienced failure? And if so, how did you respond to that and move on?
Yeah, I used to let failure really take me under. And I think this is a really great coaching question for everyone to ask themselves. This should be in your toolbox. I always have like a group of coaching questions that should be in your toolbox. And one of them is, what am I making this mean that perhaps it doesn't?
Yeah.
What am I making this mean that perhaps it doesn't? And so I used to make failure mean that I was a failure. You know, obviously the book Mindset from Carol Dweck, that has been hugely used across the nation, now being adopted in many schools, Growth Mindset. It really explains this concept. And also that there's just a lot of science to it as well. That growth mindset, I never knew that was a thing. And so I used to really hinder my own progress by making it mean, like every failure that I had, even if it was a little one, I would make it mean that I wasn't somehow worthy or that I wasn't enough or that I wasn't smart enough or that I, you know, I would just go round and round in my own brain. And I never realized that's what I was doing to myself. But I didn't know how to get out of it. And so when I learned hypnosis, the very first thing that just that light went on for me was, oh my gosh, you mean I don't have to think how I think? That was a huge just aha moment for me to realize that I could reprogram myself. Yeah. And we use that word a lot in hypnosis. And I think it's tossed around a lot when we talk about the power of the mind and that we're walking around with this programming. We are, in a sense, because of our brain is so good at absorbing something that we do over and over again and making that repetitiveness part of our everyday. And so automatic, but we want to make sure that our automatic is actually things that we want, that are helpful, that are beneficial to us. And I mean that down to our own thought processes. Do we have automatic thoughts that are benefiting us? Do we have automatic habits and behaviors like exercise that are benefiting us? We see in our world a lot of automatic behaviors that are coping mechanisms that actually, you know, get in our way, that are smoking in excessive amounts, smoking, drinking. It can be so many things, sex. It could be, there's just so many coping mechanisms that we get our needs met, but they're not actually helping us long-term. It's just these temporary gratifications.
It's how we respond to whatever has happened to us because it's our journey.
Yes. Right? Yes. Yes. So true. But yet there's better ways.
Yeah.
And finding hypnosis helped me to actually really heal things from the past. I was sexually assaulted at 15 and I didn't tell anyone until around 45.
Yeah.
45. I'm 53 now. So that wasn't that long ago.
You and I are around the same age, I think. And when we grew up, first of all, you were told to hate the ex-husband, right? Or hate the ex-wife. And it's a different time set right now. And it's I love it because we're talking in this generation, right? We're talking.
Yes, we are. And yeah, everyone's opening up.
Yeah. And just like being sexually assaulted, a lot of people don't talk about it, but it impacts your whole life, right?
It really does.
With hypnosis, this is an answer that might help you.
Absolutely. And so my clients, they come to me because they want to be better. And they say, you know, I have goals in my life. I have things I want to do, but I just keep getting in my way. I keep, you know, sabotaging myself and I want to stop doing that. And so I want to give an example.
I was going to say, can you give us something that our audience can take to help them today, whether it's being focused or dealing with pain or whatever? What can they do? Because first of all, do you do counseling or do you do speaking or do you do one-on-one?
I do all of that.
Okay.
Yeah.
You're based in California. So do you take clients nationwide?
I do. I'm in Del Mar, California. I have an office. I'm in my office right now talking to you. And this beautiful ocean view, people come to me one-on-one here, but I also work with people across the country and out of the country. So because I've been speaking for so many years, I've been on a lot of stages all over the place. I had this need to work with people online many years ago. So it wasn't just during COVID that happened for me. I started doing online sessions, I would say around 2000. So over the phone and over Zoom, I conduct sessions privately on a daily basis.
We'll put a link on our show where people can get to that.
Here's what people come to me for, though. So specifically, let's say I want to give you an example of a particular person. I'm going to change her name. I think she actually would be totally open to me saying her name, but I'm just going to change it to Sue. And Sue, growing up, had a really difficult time. She had abuse in her family. She was abused, sexually abused by a brother, and never told a soul. And so she had a lot of shame around that. And then she married an abusive man right out of the gate, you know, at a very young age. She was married to that man for many, many years. She had four children with him. And she always struggled with her own confidence and never told a soul where what was really happening on the inside. And her husband was just kind of had her under his thumb and, you know, told her she was worthless. Told her that she wasn't going to amount to anything outside of their relationship.
Classic textbook abusive situation.
Absolutely. And she loved her children more than anything. And that unconditional love that she received from her children made her want to fight, made her want to take care of them, to be more, to be able to raise them in a way that was differently than what she experienced. And
love
so she was very protective of them and went to work. And work really gave her a sense of value. She was able to, achieve things, be able to work hard and then be acknowledged for her hard work. And that helped her to really build self-esteem that made her think, you know what? What's happening is not okay. what's happening in my marriage is not okay. And so they ended up breaking up. She left that marriage and she raised all those kids on her own. And she started to move up in her career. Like she then became a manager and then she became the next level manager of just having more and more responsibility. So this woman raised her kids,
wow,
became successful in her career, gained confidence slowly but surely. And then she and I found each other in 2010. So it's been a number of years now that she and I have worked together off and on. And so I do this program called the Breakthrough Program, where I work with people for a 3-month period. And she's done that twice over the last 12 years and then done my group programs for years and years as well. And she's now in a place where she's been able to overcome every single one of those really heavy limiting beliefs about herself, release the shame that was attached to her childhood, release the shame that was attached to being in that marriage. Every single time that she would be in a situation where she was in a boardroom or networking or maybe taking direction from a male counterpart or superior, she would feel this hindrance to be able to speak up. And it wasn't so much because of that at all, that moment. It was just being triggered from the past.
Of course.
And not being able to feel like she had a voice based on, and it's really not the male's fault. Like, you know, every male that she interacts with, they're deserving of the respect and what they're bringing to the table. But she was being triggered from the men of her past that did do her wrong. And that's not fair to herself. It's not fair to the men that she's now working with. So she was able to really reconcile with her past so that, wow, she could now show up very powerfully in the present and be able to really bring her skill sets and smarts to the boardroom, to the table, and share them. Before, she wasn't even able to share them because she was so intimidated. Mm. And she didn't really even realize that she was carrying that. So a lot of this is unconscious because we bury stuff away,
right,
in order to be able to move forward. And it's not fair to ourselves, not even fair to the situations that we're in, because we're not always able to bring our best. So being able to work through that, and here's where hypnosis is key. It's not the same as talk therapy. We're able to go to direct causes, to the root cause very quickly.
Interesting, yeah.
And resolve situations. And that's why in that 3-month period, I can really take people places that they've never been so fast. It's a very effective form of therapy. So for this particular woman, or calling her Sue, and she has a 3-letter name. That's why I picked Sue. Mm-hmm. She's now being able to, in this age, own her confidence in a way that is so incredibly authentic, and take what felt like failures in the past now as lessons,
yeah,
and be able to turn the other side of the coin and go, you know what, look at all I've learned, look how strong I am, look at what I have been through, and I'm still here, like not only just standing, but standing stronger than I ever have in my entire life.
Exactly.
And really owning that. So, you know, people can have, I want to just say to anyone listening that whatever you've been through, and I don't want it to sound cliche, because we hear this all the time. We see it on Facebook. We see it on Instagram, where it's like, take what happened to you and turn it around. Yes, we know that. But to really internalize that towards your benefit is a whole nother level of healing and growth. And you're internalizing things anyways. So make sure that you're internalizing to your benefit. Make sure that you're internalizing and using those resources of healing that you have already inside of you to your benefit.
Yes.
So when you talk about failures, yes, I've had them. I would not be here without these alternative methods and therapies. I learned to be able to turn those around just like I do for my clients. And it's really the passion behind my work. I feel like if I hadn't had all the hardships that I've had, I wouldn't have the level of empathy that I do for my clients. I really make sure I meet people where they're at.
And empathy is difficult to have. A lot of people don't have empathy, right?
Yeah.
But you can have empathy. You can get it. If you don't have it, you can learn it. You can get it. And it's amazing.
It's part of your emotional intelligence. And I think it's really important to make part of your life quests one of them to be turning yourself inside out and make that a whole project in and of itself, because that will give you so much fulfillment to know yourself deeply and to know yourself inside and out. You know, there's, we're all going to continue to make mistakes, and what you do with those though, are brilliant. And you can get really, really good at apologizing, at forgiveness. It goes both ways. You know, there's something you're going to say today that you're going to feel like you stuck your foot in your mouth, and that's, it's not too late. You can go right back and be like, hey, can I just communicate with you about something that I said? And I didn't, you know, I didn't mean it the way that I might've said. I thought about it later and I want to just talk to you about it. Like, good communication is so powerful. And whether it's a team work environment or in your own relationship with your spouse or with your kids, I think communication is key. But you're not going to be a good communicator unless you know yourself deeply.
That's right. That's right.
So don't avoid that. You know, don't avoid turning yourself inside out and right. working through stuff.
I love that. So I have a question. I actually have a couple of questions. First of all, why did you want to be a board certified hypnotist? You were a hairdresser, right? So what was it that made the change for you?
It was this quest to want to love myself. I just did not like myself nor love myself. And so I would see people with a certain light that I thought was incredible. And I thought, how do I get that? And I had to really search beyond the ego and figure out what it was that I had to offer the world. And I knew that I had stuff to offer, but I didn't know how to communicate it or articulate it. And so I really wanted to not sabotage myself anymore with that and to really show up. I just felt like I had a light inside me and I didn't know really what that meant or what that looked like. So I found hypnosis as a tool to be able to kind of find, take a machete through the jungle of my own mind,
right?
And be like, let's make something beautiful out of this. Because right now it just looks like a bunch of weeds and overgrowth. And I needed to develop myself, and hypnosis was the thing that I used. So when I was 24 years old, I was already a single mom. And I got married at 19 and divorced at 22 and had a baby in that marriage. And so my oldest son is now 33, but I wanted to be able to provide something for him that I knew I didn't have yet. And I needed to get better. I needed to have more personal growth. And when I discovered hypnosis, it became the thing that I thought, oh my gosh, this is a tool that can help me. And so because I discovered it, then I wanted to be it. And so then I went back to school and learned. I think you can, for everyone listening, you can really learn hypnosis very quickly. You can actually go and become a level certified hypnotist pretty quickly. You can learn in a weekend what hypnosis is and how to use it. But then to be able to use it for therapy, you know, it takes years of development to know how to use it specifically to help someone through a phobia, through a deep personal growth issue, an emotional issue. You know, you want to be able to then strategically know how to help someone. That's another level.
Yeah.
Learning how to just work with your own mind, you can actually learn that pretty quickly.
Right. So you really, I mean, this has been a journey for you, and you have come out on the other side with a great presence about you. I mean, we just met today and I already feel so connected to you and just think that you were so warm and accepting and really have compassion for people that want to be better and do better with their lives. It's never too late,
mm-hmm.
right? It's never too late.
It's really not ever too late. I think that, in fact, the people that really, I always look for people in their senior years, like 100 years old, to see what they're up to in the world. I get so much inspiration from looking these people up, Googling them. And I love people that are like running marathons at 100 years old. And
right?
You know, they have some kind of expertise or hobby that they're super into at that age. And I just think, what turns them on? What gets them still inspired and excited at that age? And I think it's because they have something purposeful that they're doing. My grandmother lived to 103.
Wow.
And she passed in her sleep of no disease, just old age. And she used to say that she hopes that she'd just die going to sleep and wait. She'll wake up in the arms of grandpa, because he had died about 10 years before her. And so I thought that's the sweetest thing. And she lived her life very fruitful. She jogged all the way through her 90s And she was a gracious person. And I just loved her vibe. She traveled all over the world and she accumulated wealth. Yet she grew up in a very poor community in Oklahoma. She had a mud floor and a thatch roof in Oklahoma. She was born in 1901 and ended up accumulating wealth. And so every part of her journey, there was a ton of hardship. She lost a child that died at 3 years old. That was my mom's twin. Her husband cheated on her over and over again through the years. That was my grandpa. She was married to him for 60 years and he went through a period of cheating on her and she lived through all that. So there was so much struggle.
What an incredible inspiration of a woman, you know? So, yes. Wow, that's amazing. Well, first of all, I could talk to you all day long. I find you so inspiring and I'm so gracious that you took the time to be on our podcast, but I've got one last question that's so important. When you get in your car and it's just one of those off days, you're not you. And you've got to get it. You're going to be speaking. You've got to have game on, right? So what is the music or the artist or the genre that you listen to that gives you game on, that makes you perfect that day?
Just recently, in this last year, I've started listening to just straight meditational music. That is something I've never done before. I typically always listen to really high vibe, like some kind of dance music. But I have found that these alphago frequencies are very calming to my brain. And so it's basically meditational music, but it's on YouTube. They're all over for free. I have Apple iTunes. Listening to these frequencies, it just makes my brain really, really focused. You were saying off day and speaking day. I never have an off day when I'm speaking. So those never coincide.
Awesome.
Whenever I get to go on a stage, I feel very respectful of that platform. I think that it's an incredible opportunity to be able to get in front of people. And I've luckily had that opportunity thousands of times. So I treat it with a lot of respect. But what I do backstage before I walk on is I always do 3 to 5 push-ups in my heels.
That's what I want to hear. I love that. Really?
I want to get in my body. So if I have any kind of nerves, I always interpret that as excitement. Any kind of nerves, it's my own hypnosis. I just be like, ooh, the butterflies are flying. This is a good thing. They're getting revved up and ready to go. And so I think of those butterflies as my job is to get my brain to think of those butterflies as flying in formation. Like how ducks fly in a V. I got to get those butterflies to fly in a V.
I love that.
Butterflies to be like the blue angels.
I'm going to try that. I love that. That's awesome. Lastly, you are writing a book right now, but you have a book out, right? And what is that called?
It's called Mind, Body, Fit Life.
Okay. Where can we get that? Can we get it on Amazon?
It's on Amazon. Yeah, okay. Go get it. It's on Amazon. Absolutely.
Right. Okay.
Mind, Body, Fit Life is really for women specifically that are just messing, like sabotaging themselves with their food and their exercise. And so, or their lack thereof. And so it's all about really getting your brain right and having a level of acceptance of your body and caring for it in a way that is respectful and amazing. There's so much that you can do in your body when you are in sync with it. And so helping people to get to a really healthy, happy weight. And that's what Mind, Body, Fit Life is all about. This next book is specifically hypnosis, and it's all about how to use it, why it works, and how to use it. I'm writing this to an audience of business professionals. So I think that there's, like my client Sue that I was giving an example of, there's so many wonderful business professionals like yourself that just have so much inside of them.
I can't wait to read it. I want to get it. That's awesome. Okay. So we'll be looking for that. Do you know when it's going to come out?
By December, it'll be out.
Well, Deanna, it's such a pleasure to know you, to meet you. And I just thank you so much for taking the time to be on our show today.
Thank you for having this platform and for reaching people. I just think your subject matter focus is so wonderful. So thanks for having me on. And thank you to everyone that listened.
Awesome.
I hope you listened while you're walking.
Definitely.
That's my favorite thing to do. Yes.
Definitely. Exercise is healing, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Today's podcast is sponsored by Refocus Careers. If you're looking for a career coach to get you back on track, check us out at refocuscareers.com. We offer a three-step methodology that's going to help you evaluate where you're at, what you want to do, help you with your resume, and give you a plan to get you on your way. No matter what you do in life, don't forget to stop, take a moment, and refocus.